Hi, my name's Ian Wallace, a messed up counsellor. Today, I'd like to talk about sex. You're all going, sex, oh, that horrible word, sex. It's a very embarrassing word sometimes, and certainly in the counselling room when we start introducing sex in couple work, definitely. The counsellor can get very embarrassed as well. So it's really important as counsellors and therapists we actually talk about sex and we explore it and we understand it, because that's helpful for the clients that are coming in, the couple work that we do, definitely. Because usually couple work will have broken down their relationship over years, sometimes months, certainly more than a month. A breakdown of relationship usually occurs as a drip effect, and their sexual relationship, their intimacy, will probably deteriorate over that time. So in my world as a counsellor, I need to try and encourage people to feel it's okay to talk about it. So any counsellors and therapists talking, if you're certainly working with couples more so, because if there's a sexual and intimacy issue with an individual, they probably will talk to you about it. But in the three people in the room with the couple work, as me, as them, it can be very embarrassing. So I try and introduce it fairly early on as a topic of conversation, not talk about their sexual relationship. But I certainly give them an understanding that it's okay to do so, because it's not going to embarrass me, basically. So when we're looking at the connection that we have with people, our physical connections can just be sex. It can be a bonk, a one-night stand, just an encounter about physical rawness, sexual process. And that's fine. Nothing wrong with that at all. But when a couple are working, then they're usually wanting something deeper. Now, one person will be probably fairly happy with close contact, close touch, intimacy. And the other person might not be, for all sorts of reasons. And it's really interesting when we talk about this in the counselling room. And I'll say to, you know, the couple, you know, what's going on, we talk about the intimacy. Usually the guy will get a bit embarrassed because they're not usually talking about their bodies, women talk about the bodies much more usually, and guys will kind of like get a bit embarrassed. I said, well, you know, I'll say to the guy, if it was a heterosexual couple, I'll say, well, would you rather have sex or make love? And every time I've asked that question, I don't ask it every time obviously, but if it comes up in topic of conversation, the guy will always say make love, which completely flummoxes the female. And they'll say, what? What are you on about? Just said he'd rather make love, not have sex. And then we start exploring the difference between making love and having sex. Because there's a massive difference between making love and having sex, which people, generally speaking, don't talk about. They don't talk about their physical relationship often. And, you know, you get two people get together, they find each other, they have things in common, they get more closely connected, they get emotional bonding, they'll get a physical relationship at some point. And then if they become a family, if they have kids, it's like, when do we get a chance to do that? You know, well, you know, so-and-so's next door and they're like, we don't want to disturb them, or maybe they're in the bedroom and we don't want to disturb them, we don't want to make noises. So we start reducing our time in making love to quickies, basically. We've got 5 minutes till the kids get home, whatever. And it's like, God, do it now. But that becomes a really awkward process long term. It's okay. And there's nothing wrong with quickies, physical lust relationships, sex. It's part of the oldest kind of known thing in the world, isn't it? You know, having babies, having sex. So that process means that we have to look more at the intimacy. And intimacy takes time. It's not a 5 minute job usually. And everybody will be going, what, 5 minutes? Don't get 5 minutes, get 2 minutes. That old joke. So the intimacy is built up because of an emotional bonding connection. So generally in couple work, we're looking to try and instill that emotional bonding connection, that intimacy between the couple. Now, one partner probably wants that. The other person probably doesn't understand it, to be fair. And so we have to do some education, some knowledge, some awareness about what intimacy is, what sex is sometimes. You know, people sometimes don't even know their own bodies. They don't understand how their body works. And part of our process, and there is a specialist aspect of that work which is called PST, which is psychosexual therapy. That is a much more drawn out, much more CBT focused process of engaging the couple in some activities, some processes at home, not in the counselling room. Although there are some people in America who apparently do that. It's not what we do. It's not what I do. So it's about kind of getting them to understand about the differences, what it is, and having conversations about those differences. So many people do not talk about this, and it's absolutely ridiculous. It's probably one of the mainstay of most relationships, intimacy and physical connection. And we don't explore it. We don't talk about it. We don't share it. You know, we don't share what we like, what we don't like usually. It's a process of fumbling, getting used to, coming across things. If it can be an open exploration, if it can be, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, it cuts out so much of the problems, to be fair. So in intimacy, we're building up an emotional connection. We're building up a way of being together. Now, intimacy could just be holding hands, having a cuddle. It could be that builds it up. So those kind of things, touch, for most human beings is important. Obviously, if they don't like touch, then that's something you need to be aware of. But for most human beings, touch is an important process. Respectful touch. I don't mean groping. And that process of building up that touch, that intimacy, that emotional bonding is something that at some point, sometimes with couple work, we get into. It's usually when we've done the healing of the relationship issue, and it's usually at the back end of the work. So that process is not the first bit we do, as I've said. And that means that we have to start some process of not guiding them, but giving them opportunities to connect. So I use some very simple, structured of sensate focusing. All that means is focusing on the body in a sensual way, not necessarily a physical way, but a sensual way. So it's not bong, 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 wham, bam. It's a longer process of connection which involves a lot of things. And that sensate focusing work is really, really helpful for some couples who need it. Some couples don't need it, and that's fine. They get on and do what they do. But if they do need it, I think it's helpful for us as counsellors, as therapists, to kind of give them some understanding, some education, some knowledge. So that sensate focusing does that. And when it gets to that point where we introduce that and the couple would like to engage with that, we don't want to direct people to what they should or should not do, what's okay, what's not okay, because that would lead to possible ways of feeling the bad person in the relationship. I was looking on a forum the other day and said, is it an ethical consideration to direct a partner to have sex? Well, yeah, it is, because we shouldn't direct anybody. But in order to help the couple work with that process, then we need an engaging process that both people feel comfortable with. If either one does not feel comfortable, then it's probably not going to work. They're going to put some kind of barrier in way of deflection process. So it has to be something that has been agreed fully, openly, honestly, that they feel comfortable with. So what we do with sensor focusing work is that we have boundaries. We have a limit to what that intimacy will be that each person feels comfortable with. So after being not intimate for a long period of time, and sometimes that's years, I've certainly worked with people who've never been intimate for 20 years. So in order to do that, we have to find out what that comfortable boundary will be. So it might be one person says, okay, I feel comfortable holding hands. Another person might say, well, I feel comfortable having a cuddle. Now then we have to define what cuddle means, because it might mean different things to different people. So in order to do that, we kind of explore that word. What is comfortable with cuddle? Is cuddle something where you sat on a settee together and you've got your arm around somebody? That might be a cuddle to some people. Other people might see that as not being a cuddle. They might see a cuddle being in bed, naked, cuddling people close. Now that in bed naked might be a step too far at that time for the other partner. So it's really important that we engage with a conversation, an openness, a dialogue. What does that mean? What is cuddle? Because each person needs to understand that. If we can then get them to agree what boundaries they feel comfortable with at that point, that's not to say it's going to be the same all the way through this process, that's just at that point, we're doing something that gets somewhere, and that's going to be a process, then we can start building a reconnection process sexually, intimacy. But in doing that, we're only offering an opportunity, we're only offering a process, a structure, if you like, that they could, if they so wished, adhere to. If we try and direct it, if we try and say, well, if you know, this is what you should be doing, or one partner wants, you know, the sex, and the other person certainly does not want the sex, then we're going to be putting people in positions where they're being forced to do something that they're not really convinced about, or not open to, or just don't want to do. Some people have areas of their body they do not like touched. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people don't like their feet touched. They don't like their ears touched. No, that's okay. Nothing wrong in that. We just need to know it so that we don't incur any boundary infringements, you know? So we don't do anything that actually stops what we're trying to do. So when we're looking at the physical connection, then we come across lots of problems in the counselling world whereby there may be some erectile dysfunction, or what people term ED, or there might be some vaginismus, a clenching of the muscles around the vagina. When we're working with those kind of physical behavioural situations, it's always helpful to ask them to go to see their GP first, before we do any work. Because if there is a physical reason for those things, then that needs to be explored first. Now, if they go to the GP and the GP says, no, it's no physical reason why those things are occurring, then it's usually an emotional process. It's usually something around the relationship or the person in the past, their historical situations of protecting themselves, which may sound really weird. But in my world, erectile dysfunction, if it isn't physical, there isn't a GP process for it, is usually about a feeling of being out of control or not having confidence in their world. So if we look at building that control, building that confidence, then generally speaking, the ED will go away. If somebody was talking about vaginismus, the clenching of the vaginal muscles, and there was no physical reason for that, then it might just be about, again, control, about being in control of my body, not necessarily feeling emotionally connected or bonded with you. So I'm not going to be that vulnerable. Because if people, obviously, females' perspective, and males, depend on what kind of insertion they're doing, it's a very vulnerable position to have somebody or something else inside your body. It's not an easy process. So if you're not feeling relaxed, if you're not feeling connected, if you're not feeling part of that process, generally speaking, those things probably would occur of some process. Now, that might then be painful. And if it's painful, then less likely to want to do it again. So whenever we're engaging with sex and intimacy in their world, then we need to kind of try and create a process that means that we give it the best chance we can get. So if, for example, we're building, through the sensitive focusing work, we're building this process of engaging again physically. So you might say to them, well, you know, do you feel more comfortable if you've had a shower? If you're feeling clean? If you're feeling relaxed? You know, do you want some kind of massaging, some kind of process of relaxation? Do you want soft music, soft lights? So building the environment around that process can be really, really helpful. And that takes time, as we've said. So in order to get that time, we have to plan it. We can't just get it when we can. It's not going to happen usually. So that process means that we have a structure, we have a process of engaging that both people feel comfortable with. And that then means that if it's an engaging with physical insertion at some point, we talk about lubricants, we talk about how that process of building the connection physically, so it's not just wham bam thank you ma'am. And that process means we both people have to take our own input from that, our own conversations, our own dialogue about what's okay, what's not okay, what I feel comfortable with, what I don't feel comfortable with. So sometimes in the counselling world, we have to, as I said, educate. So I will send people, clients, pictures. Now, it might sound that's really stupid, sending pictures of a penis or a vagina. But if we don't understand what those things do, or where the sensitive points are, or what's okay with it, or what's not okay with it, what would be dangerous, what wouldn't be dangerous, then how can they ever connect fully? So males should understand, and females should understand their parts of their body, that they have a sexual connection too. A male should understand that the penis, the way it works, what it does. You know, okay, most people don't look at their penis. It's kind of down there. Certainly when we get older, we probably can't see it. It's just one of them things. And certainly women don't generally look at their vagina unless they hold a mirror or if they kind of like photograph it. So sometimes that educational stuff can be really, really helpful for understanding each other's bodies and how it works, or how it doesn't work, to be fair. And as we go through that intimacy, as we build that, as we get used to that bonding emotional connection and making more relaxed with each other and planning that time together, because it's important for them, then that helps them to negate that awkwardness, that difficulty, that embarrassment. Which a lot of people have around sex and intimacy. It's that taboo word, isn't it? And sometimes, you know, people growing up nowadays, young people, they have a view of what sex and intimacy is based on their ideas around, you know, YouTube or some of the kind of sites, the porn sites that they can access. And that's not intimacy. That's not about a physically and emotionally bonding experience where both people feel engaged in. Usually it's raw sex. But it's unfortunate that a lot of young people, certainly in the counselling processes I do, are not aware of that. They see that as being the normal. They see that as how you should engage with another person. But pornography is not sexual intimacy. Pornography, generally speaking, is bang, 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 bang. And not necessarily in the most respectful way. So if people are educated that that is what it's about, then less likely to understand anything else, really. And because most families don't talk about intimacy and they don't talk about sex, we find out from places that we can get that information from. And usually, you know, friends, websites, you know, places where actually it's probably not educational. It's probably not true. And young people will, certainly males, will kind of work with me on confidence and self-esteem. And sometimes they'll not understand that the male penis, for example, is massively different in everybody. No one penis is the same as another. So it'll be a different length, different size, different girth, different reactions, the whole range of differences. And it's surprising how many times I've been working with this with young people, with obviously schools' approval. I've shown them differences of penises. And all of a sudden they say, well, mine's not the same as that, and it's not as big as that, but it's bigger than that. And that process of understanding education can be helpful in how they connect, in how they kind of see themselves, their body image, if you like. Because it's totally different on every person in one way, shape or form. Yes, it's a penis in this example. But a penis is massively different. Now, if you look on porn sites, generally speaking, they're 12 inches long, they're thicker than whatever, and they go for hours. That's not usually true. Sorry. It can be, because obviously those people exist. But it's not the vast majority of us. Men are usually less than 12 inches long, and their process is usually different. I think from my recollection of my training, which is going back a few years now, I think the average is about 3.5 inches. If it isn't erect, and I think 5 inches erect. I think that's a study. So from that point of view, most people are average, you know? And if you're average, that's fine. If you're not average, then, you know. But for the people who are worried about that, you know, whenever I've worked with females on these kind of areas, most females actually don't like very big penises because it hurts. It hurts their cervix. It can bang their cervix. It can actually create some problems. Most females, most of their sensitivity is actually around the edge of the vagina. So those kind of things we can actually explore in counselling, in therapy. And we can see what is okay, what is not okay. We can see the normal, if you like, instead of the pornographic abnormal, if you like. And that process can give us an understanding that we're okay. We're all right. Yeah, we're fine. And everybody loves somebody not for the size of the penis. They love somebody for a lot of other things. And that process of bonding, commitment, connection, emotional and intimacy can help a couple understand that and work with it and explore some of these things in a much more open and honest way. Hopefully you found that interesting. And if you are suffering from any of those problems, please, 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 first, if it's a physical problem, consult your GP. Talk to the health providers to check out there's nothing there that needs some kind of medical intervention. Once you've done that, then get to see a counsellor who understands sex and intimacy. PST is the kind of professional, if you like, experts, if you want to call it that, in that process, because they're trained to work with those things. But any counsellor that works with a sexual focus and has been trained to deal so, then would be okay. Yeah. Don't suffer in silence. Get help. You should, all of you should, have a good, connected, emotional, intimacy, sexual relationship. That's kind of okay. But sometimes life gets in the way. Relationships get in the way. And sometimes it's not easy to do. If you've liked that, please share it. And please offer it to other people. because, again, it might just help them to understand something in their life that they don't talk about, they don't share, because it's embarrassing talking about sex and bodies. And then we can go forward and hopefully have better relationships, better connections. My name's Ian Wallace, the Messed Up Counsellor. Take care and enjoy.